Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You may already know that the Football Ramble have teamed up with audible.co.uk to offer you a free audiobook of your choosing when you sign up for a free 1 month trial at audible.co.uk/footballramble. So if you want Why England Lose by Simon Cooper and Stefan Szymanski, I Partridge by Alan Partridge, or The Football Men, Up Close with the Giants of the Modern Game by Simon Cooper, then sign up at audible.co.uk/footballramble or choose from a range of about 60,000 other titles. The 30-day free trial means you can choose a free audiobook, which is yours to keep, whether or not you decide to cancel in the trial period. Go to audible.co.uk/footballramble and sign up now.
Hello, and welcome to Club Call. Hope you've got the permission of the bill payer, because Club Call is a premium rate phone service, 42 pence per minute from a landline. Press 1 for main menu. You're listening to Club Call, the place to hear all the latest news about your club. Please press 1. Please press 2. All the latest club-sanctioned prattle and interviews with all your favourite football stars are on the way. Press 1 for the latest news. Very soon, you're going to be hearing hot transfer gossip which you're simply not going to believe. You'll probably wonder whether your ears are deceiving you, the ears that are located on the side of your head. Any minute now, Club Call is going to be here with all the news, all the action. Are you ready for all the latest club news and chitter-chat? Well, if you're not, get ready. I'll just wait here until you are. Please press hash. Please press star. Please press 2. Club Call. Thanks for calling Club Call. Before we get to the hot transfer gossip, I'm going to list all the phrases that rhyme with phone bill. Beacon Hill. Cider mill. Coffee still. Dentist's drill. Dressed to kill. Living will. Sleeping pill. Quenneville. Thanks for calling Club Call. All the latest gossip is on the way. Press hash.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus, and I've got my three chums with me. Jim.
Hello.
Pete.
Yes, yes.
And Luke.
All right.
Oh, gentlemen, England are out on penalties. Who would have predicted it?
It's time for the biannual head bashing on desk. Who wants to go first?
Yeah. Well, no, to be fair, actually, it's been at this, Jim.
He's actually not it.
Why do you say that? It's been 6 years.
Yeah. Almost missed it. Okay. Well, I thought I did anyway.
Yeah, I did. When the penalties came along, I thought, ah, yes, my old friend.
Yeah. put some glory back into the defeat.
After outplaying Italy for 120 minutes, they scraped through on penalties. Well, let's go through the match from the beginning to the end.
I was more annoyed at 90 minutes than I was at 120, because I was like, oh, the first 0-0, England have to be fucking involved. Yeah.
It was inevitable. If it was going to be anybody, it was going to be England.
It was a nothing result.
It was, said Craigie Brune, who predicted both teams to go through. And it was funny, wasn't it? I mean, De Rossi got the game going after about 2 minutes with what would have been a real thunderous strike. Yeah. Which, well, it was a thunderous strike, and it hit it was a decent hit,
yeah,
and it hit the post. And I thought that was going to be, well, perhaps when we move on to Germany, Greece, you can argue there, but I thought it was going to be the first real proper long range swinger of the tournament.
Mm. Yeah.
Because
yeah,
we haven't quite had one, but again, no, well, maybe argue that in Germany's case. But he hit the post, and then England looked a bit shaky for the first few minutes, and then actually,
we had our 10 minutes, Marcus.
We did. We had our 10 minutes, didn't we?
Yeah.
We kind of looked okay. We had a nice move down the right. Glenn Johnson missed a good chance. Then Rooney missed a diving header. And I thought to myself, hang on a minute here. Is it coming together? And it didn't, of course.
You know, I thought, hang on a minute here. We're not blocking enough shots.
Retreat. That's yeah, how you feel. Yeah.
Dig in, boys.
Yeah. it was like the Battle of Britain. Oh, no. Get back there and defend the fort.
Yeah. Yeah. We might as well have dug a trench.
Oh dear, but let's get down to it then. So yeah, the first 15 minutes was okay, and then Italy
started to beat our offside trap every single time. Balotelli was one on one with some amazingly long hamstrings from that man. Goodness, yeah, me, oh, yeah, it hurt mine just watching him.
Yeah.
Oh dear, oh dear. Terry made a wonderful block, didn't he, against Balotelli when he slightly took his time again.
I think we knew going into the game it would be won and lost in the middle of midfield, and so when it's tempting to sort of have a go at the defenders, especially the centre backs, and Lescott and Terry, for being a bit uncultured and chucking their bodies in the way on the line far too often, it's actually not really their fault.
No,
it was the PL show, wasn't it? Really,
it was the PL show. But I also think, by the way, a lot's made of, especially in the commentary team and the pundits, about how you got to stop Pirlo, not get anywhere near him and stuff. That sort of assumes, one, they don't want to get anywhere near him. They are trying to get near him.
Yeah,
he's decent, for one. And two, I actually thought that
they have other players.
It's a midfield at its best, which completely rotates. So when they have Montolivo in there, who actually played very well, and De Rossi, and to a certain extent Marchisio as well, as soon as they did get someone on Pirlo, there's loads of other things to think about, because they've got other players who can use the ball. Yeah, he is, yeah.
And they can all operate with their back to goal as well, which is quite good, because you know, once you start facing your own goal, you're like, right, my left's my right, oh god, where am I? And they just, they're so sort of cultured.
Yeah, they do look more comfortable. I thought one thing I would say is, and Pirlo is a great player, and he's always going to get, even when you're playing against the very best teams, Pirlo will always get space because he's that kind of player. But I actually thought early on, maybe coincided with what you said, Marcus, the first 15 minutes, I thought Welbeck did a reasonable job on him actually. And then I think maybe something we'll come on to in a minute is the substitutions, but taking Welbeck off really undermining him, because Rooney just wasn't up to it.
Yeah, well, I think there were countless times where Pirlo was just marauding through the midfield and Rooney and Welbeck weren't getting into it. It seemed like no one was trying to get into him. It's absolutely crazy. That's the one person you really should get tight on, but he almost looked like he was invisible to the England team.
And he never looked like he sprinted or tried hard or tired. He was always there without even really trying. All the England players blowing out their arses trying to get anywhere near him.
I think it's the best individual performance we've seen at the tournament from a specific
certainly
player.
Possible, yeah. But do you think that maybe overstates how good England are?
Yeah, perhaps.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, after about half an hour, you know, Italy really started to dominate, you know, and that might even be being a touch generous to England. And you just got that sinking feeling that we're just going to retreat now to the two banks of four and Italy going to come at us and come at us. But England, just every now and then they came forward and you thought, oh,
on the break we looked alright, and then it was just that final ball,
but we
were lost
so
focus
sloppy.
A little bit.
The final ball was absolutely shocking.
I mean it really was horrendous. Now I'm not saying for a minute, oh, if that final ball had have gone right we could have won or should have won or anything like that, but the final ball was abysmal. It wasn't even a case of, oh, we're just not good, you know, it's not like, oh, we're just not good enough to do that, or we're not good enough to keep the ball. No, it was really,
and when you've
got
forward players that are off the pace as much as Wayne Rooney was,
and Ashley Young
you're going to look a little bit lacking in many different areas.
You know, I'm loath to criticise Hodgson because he's had a tough job to do in sort of straitened circumstances in a small amount of time, but he cannot fall into the trap long term as the manager of
having Wayne Rooney being undroppable.
Well, being an hoax of personality.
That's right.
You knock out football here. Okay, fair enough. England, to a certain extent, are lucky to be in the quarter final. They've performed at least to expectations given what they went into the tournament
certainly.
But if they're not playing well enough, if Ashley Young or Wayne Rooney aren't playing well enough, fucking hook them.
Yeah.
Hook them off. Because there are players on that team, in that squad, who may not be of the perceived quality of those two players, in inverted commas, but they'll run fast, which is the minimum you expect.
Yeah.
And they'll take the game maybe a little bit more into the hands of the England players rather than being completely reactive all the time.
Well, when Carroll came on,
But who did he come on for? It was just they're similar heights, for crying out loud. Yeah. He's not a massively, he's not much taller than the player he replaced. But we sort of reverted to the long ball game as soon as Carroll went. Focus man. It's just like
Hart and Carroll linked more than any other England players, which is worrying. I mean, into the second half, Italy were just completely dominant. I mean, De Rossi missed a great chance a couple of minutes in, and if that goes in, it would have just been interesting if Italy would have gone on and probably won by three.
It's similar to the England Germany game as far as the in World Cup 2010. As far as they obviously completely dominated, the only difference being that Germany took their chances. Yeah. That could easily have been four.
Well, it would have been an absolute travesty if England had won that game from a sort of objective point of view, because they were so outclassed.
And the whole of extra time was just playing for penalties. Yeah.
England knew the best chance they'd have would be.
Yeah, exactly.
But the Carroll thing, just to pick up on Pete's Carroll point, like, for me, the introduction of Carroll wasn't the problem. I think it was the right decision. I think it was that he was brought on for the wrong person.
Yeah, exactly. Because now Welbeck looked quite lively. He didn't.
He's holding the ball up. His chests were good.
He didn't look tired or anything. Rooney looked knackered, and he looked completely off the pace.
Well, that bicycle kick was indicative for me for Rooney's form and also his how tired he was.
Yeah.
He had enough time to hook his foot around that ball. Yeah. He's a technically able player. We've seen him do it a couple of times, that sort of goal. But it just came off his toe. And it was just
Well, that's right. I mean, Carroll, I thought, actually did pretty well when he came on, considering he just was getting the ball lumped up to him. And he didn't always flick it on. He brought it down. But Welbeck would have worked a lot better off Carroll. I know you shouldn't have to resort to that, but that's what England were doing. But Rooney, when he tried to link with Carroll, just these little passes that were just fade away. Do you know what I mean? They were absolutely useless. And it was England just knocking the ball up to Carroll. I mean, it was interesting. I was watching the game with a number of people, and one of the people there, she just never watches football, a very good friend of mine, and she, this is the first tournament she's really just started to watch England play, and she just said to me, why are England just constantly just booting it long? Because Italy seemed to be dealing with that
because they don't like it up them.
Yeah, but she was just like, Italy seemed to deal with that very easily.
Can it touch, said Marcus.
Yeah. Why not build it up from the back? And I thought, well, yeah. Someone who's just started watching football can see that within seconds,
I think the whole Carroll thing was the right move purely because this is, regardless of how great they looked on Sunday night, this is not a vintage Italy team. We'll see the real measure of Italy, because they've been a confusing team to watch so far this summer. Yeah. We'll see the real measure of them against Germany. If Pirlo performs like that against Germany and Italy knock Germany out, give him the Ballon d'Or now. He's had a brilliant season already. He's a superb player. But England aren't Germany. No way. And the reason I would have potentially, to be fair, going into the game, I thought Rooney was poor against Ukraine, but he's got 90 minutes under his belt now, so there's every reason to suggest he'll be better because he's got a bit more match time under his belt. He was worse, if anything. And I think it's just easy for us to say. Yeah, he is. Yeah, absolutely. But Barzagli, for example, it's a very high standard of defender in terms of Italy over the last 15, 20 years, but Barzagli, for me, he's looked fine occasionally at club football. Every time I've seen him, he's played a lot this season, he's done well, but he looked woeful against England, and everything he had to do, which wasn't much, he made hard work
on. But you look at the Italian fullbacks had a lot of joy and were pushing right up, and Abate in particular down the right flank. They seemed to go down England's left a lot, maybe because they thought Ashley Young was an inferior.
Well, Ashley Cole had nothing. I felt really sorry for Ashley Cole.
Yeah.
He's a class operator. Yeah. Yeah. He's a better player than Ignacio Abate. He's definitely a better player than him.
Yeah.
And he had no joy because Ashley Young was completely anonymous.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's why they went down the left so much. But if you look at Abate, you look at him against Arsenal in the Champions League, and when Arsenal really went at them, you think, did Hodgson get the tactics right? I know it's...
Is it just his deep defensive line that they don't want to commit too quickly?
I mean, had he have played maybe Walcott and Oxlade-Chamberlain on either side and maybe have a go at the fullbacks, give them to think about.
It's one of those things where the positives for me for the whole tournament for England, I wasn't particularly dejected when we went out. I was more annoyed that it was a nil-nil, or the first nil-nil.
A
fine tournament as an experience, Euro 2012.
Yeah.
I think that the positives England can take, and I could take from the matches that we played in, were the younger players. The Ox, Andy Carroll, Welbeck was fantastic. Yeah. It's the team, as I said before we started.
Joe Hart looks pretty comfortable.
It isn't about Wayne Rooney anymore. It just isn't.
No. But having said that, though, perhaps our two best players in the tournament were John Terry and Steven Gerrard.
I mean, what was good about those two in particular was that they. they seemed aware of the responsibility they had to the younger players. They really had to put a shift in and be disciplined, and like sort of, you know, Gerrard in particular wasn't roaming around as much as he's often been criticised for, and he was a real good example to those younger players. I must say I felt sorry for Theo Walcott as well. Yeah, similar to what you say about Ashley Cole, he just got nothing.
Yeah,
he was brought on and just didn't see the ball at all. Just didn't go anywhere near him. Just completely,
because
right completely
back
nullified
was
having
having
on there.
To cover some slightly slow defenders when they brought the offside trap for me.
We've touched a bit on this earlier in the tournament, where there's, you know, as we said, there's two ways of playing those, at playing wide. There's basically the way that England occasionally do, or more often than not do, where they tuck midfield players in and look to cover the fullback. Bless you, look to cover the fullback and keep it really tight. But you can also take the initiative. You can also pin their defenders back and really take the initiative from the get go, which is what Italy did to us. I mean, Abate is a good example of that. He's not amazing going forward at the back. He's played a lot as much in midfield as he has at right back.
I mean, I thought they should have had a go.
And England. We're all agreeing here. This was an abject performance by England, but they still got behind Italy's fullbacks a few times, and that doesn't bode well for them at all, really.
And they didn't score.
No, exactly.
You know, which is a funny. I mean, so how much did the England performance? Do you look at it and go, well, it is a positive because even though we got completely dominated, we still managed to get to penalties, and we showed a lot of heart and passion and all those other kind of English cliches, or is it a case of flipping heck, that was awful, what are we doing, back to the drawing board? I mean, how much of this is Hodgson, how much of this is the team? I mean,
we all know that, you know, in football, on occasion, a team, whoever they are, even the best teams, have to dig in. You have to dig it sometimes. Even Spain or Barcelona, they'll have games where for 10 minutes, even if it's just for 10 minutes in a game, in a two-legged game or whatever, you have to batten down the hatches. You have to tuck in and work hard. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's perfectly reasonable. That's what you train for, because you're not going to win every single game. You know. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, football isn't designed for you to be doing that for 85 minutes every game. No. You'll get battered if you keep on doing that. And I wonder whether the Premier League has a role to play in this, as far as the Premier League is played at such an intensity that the players look tired and they can't work their way into positions to give their colleague an out ball to keep hold of the ball.
No.
Because the way, I mean, we'll come on to Spain in a minute, but they keep the ball as a defensive mechanism. They keep the ball as long as they can. I don't give a shit about boring people.
But do you not think England can't keep it that long? But do you not think, though, in the Premier League, when people go to watch games in England, it tends to be the weather's a bit crappy. You know, you've had a hard week, whatever. You go to the football and you just think, right, get the ball up the park, attack, come on, play. Whereas in Spain, the sun's out, everyone's having a nice time. Just knock it around, boys, do what you want.
I've heard Gary Lineker say a few years ago now that he genuinely believes that because it's usually so cold when you're playing football, you know, when you're a young kid, all you want to do is get warm.
That's right.
So you leg it, whereas there's not that culture in Southern European countries.
And match with the fact that none of our players ever bloody go abroad.
Yeah.
You know, they're never gonna fit into that kind of mold.
I mean, something like Ozil steps up to the plate when necessarily. He just works and works and works and pulls players all over the place.
But what I'm saying though is the intensity of the pace of the game at club level in Spain is not the intensity of the Premier League.
Yeah, that's what I mean though. Yeah. But like he can still, you know, he can still pull himself up from the boot.
Look at Cristiano Ronaldo. He's a good example.
Yeah,
his hunger is massive, right? Mm. And he has played an extraordinary amount of football this season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and he still looks very fresh. He still looks like he can move into, but not only can he make driving runs late on in the game. Messi for Argentina against Brazil scored a hat trick. I know he's an exceptional player, but I'm not getting at the technical side of it. I'm getting at the fitness of it. Rooney, who's not played football for 6 weeks or so, it just seems so tired. I mean, he's not looking after himself.
He looks a little overweight as well. Like, it does look like he's just not been looking after himself.
Well, it's one that, how much weight can you put on in such a short space of time? But what I would say is that when a man with the body type that Wayne Rooney has, if he plays sluggishly and he looks slow and he looks tired, he looks fat for me.
allow me to contribute on this.
this hot potato, which I will eat with butter on it.
There's always talk of the mid-season break.
But there were just, but you know, these days that the top level clubs will just fill that with promotional tours and stuff.
It's difficult
to use. I think it's actually this Rooney thing. For me, asks a more fundamental question of the type of player that Rooney actually is now. He's not the 2004, 2005 carrying the ball from deep driving player as much anymore. He seems to be a more of a, I might be getting this wrong and you guys shout if you disagree, but he seems to me to be more of a give the ball and leg it and be almost like a penalty box finisher rather than this guy
who, give and go.
That's what he was doing when, you know, the last few matches of the last manager's reign. He was just smashing balls out wide, high balls, which would occasionally not meet their, the winger's feet or chest or head or whatever. And that, yeah, and then you just leg it in the box because it's a really fun thing to do.
Yeah, yeah. Just on the tactical thing, by the way, I wonder how much merit there is in suggesting that because England didn't actually concede, it made them a lot more negative. If they had conceded in a knockout game, then I thought, well, we're going out anyway. We need to bomb on now. We need to do something. And it may have brought them out a little bit more.
But, Jim, do you think England bottled this? Do you think there's an element of that, or do you think, you know, we just weren't good enough? The system was too negative. What do you think?
I think we just came up against a much better team. I'm not sure what their possession was. I think it was Italy had about 64% possession, didn't they?
Something like that.
But I just think, you know, the problem with England so often is they do the basics quite badly. Well, we're talking about things like sloppy passes, giving possession away really, really cheaply, and you know, it's like Italy were a bit like a boa constrictor at times. I think they just didn't, they imposed themselves on the game in a way that England couldn't. So I don't know if they necessarily bottled it. I do just think they were outplayed and outthought.
I don't think it was a question of that. I think it's more of a, yeah, it's not a question of bottle. They wanted to win. I think that if you impose yourself on the game to that level, it becomes harder and harder. We've all played in games at rubbish levels that you're playing against a team who are much better than you. It's just so hard, isn't it?
It makes the basics difficult, doesn't it? Because you've got less time in which to do everything. And that was, I mean, you know, they're not a particularly pacey side, Italy, but they did have us chasing shadows at times.
Well, you know, the slow spell of the pitch ran the show. And it's another, it's the wake of another tournament where we're sort of going, right, that's another team that we've played that knew how to use a Paul Scholes. You know, it's just one of the things.
We can't even fucking convince Paul Scholes to play for us.
Well, you know.
He's seeing it, he's looking at it and going, you know what, I was thinking about it, but you're fucking rubbish. It's embarrassing for me, this.
I think there's enough positives to take out of this tournament for me. I don't mind watching a defensive England side in the slightest.
The spirit in the camp feels good as well.
Yeah, as long as we know how to break away. I think players like Joe Hart, like Ox, like, you know, we've got enough in the tank to mount a bit of a...
Injuries, by the way, the amount of players ran out, especially in midfield, we've really got to be not too hard on ourselves, because players like Wilshere and Huddleston and Cleverley, I know it's early days for a couple of those players, but they're all players who can carry the ball.
I would like to see Joe Hart as captain.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know why we'd... although Gerrard has had an excellent tournament, almost to the point of, if I was a Liverpool supporter, I'd be annoyed. I'd like to see somebody like Joe Hart take the captain's armband for...
I think he will be the long-term captain.
That seems like an absolute necessity.
What about, Marcus, a word on Pirlo, though? Because he does have a lot of credit.
Pirlo's absolutely... I mean... You know, even his penalty. Yeah. He showed his absolute class, didn't he? I mean, the penalty shooter, you know, foregone conclusion, as always. I mean, Balotelli and Joe Hart.
That's beautiful.
Oh, my goodness.
Drilled.
The psychology around that Pirlo penalty, and he said something to this effect afterwards. Joe Hart was so good for the first couple of pens. He was really relaxed, and he looked really confident. Yeah. He was doing the old... giving Balotelli the old one. And Balotelli, it was a great penalty. I don't think Balotelli's ever missed a penalty.
When Noel Gallagher did that interview with him on Football Focus, he said to him, you know, how come you were so cool when you took that penalty against Spurs in the 3-2, which was a very crucial game? And Balotelli looked at him like...
What?
He went... Because I never miss.
Yeah.
And he couldn't understand why no one was asking
I saw
which
that.
That explosive muscle where he doesn't need a run up because he stops, doesn't he? And then he stops.
If you look, he actually, as he hits it, he points in the corner he's putting it. And he also, incredible.
He also, I saw that interview with Gallagher, and I got the impression that Balotelli was just like, look, what are you talking about? This is for me, a penalty is such an amazing opportunity. I'll get a goal. Gives me a goal. You know,
it's like a C chord for you.
Exactly.
The chord you use in every single bloody song.
And what a chord it is.
But I just want this on the Pirlo thing. And what Pirlo did is he completely destroyed any wall that Joe Hart had built up psychologically for the rest of his players. Diamante went and said, after that, all I was thinking about was going off and celebrating with Pirlo and Buffon. That's all I was thinking.
He was diving early. He was getting down. He was getting close to the penalties. But then with Pirlo's, it made him look like he dived early.
Yeah,
you know, because when you chip in, and he sort of goes, right, I've got to wait until a guy kicks the ball before I dive for the next penalty, which means that, you know, you can't far enough out.
You get inside their head, basically.
Yeah,
and by the way, the one thing that makes Pirlo's balls even bigger is I remember him missing one of those from Milan against Barcelona. Yeah.
That's right, in the Johan Gamper trophy.
Yeah, that's right.
Fair play to Diamante for putting it away, because there was a distraction behind the goal. Johnny Gabriel tweeted in saying, a fan got his penis out to put off Diamante before his penalty. Have you ever displayed your genitals to an Italian? If you haven't seen that, I'm sure Google will provide. Oh, yeah, of course we do. Yeah, thefootballround.com. It's just
it's a fully grown adult
wearing an England goalkeeper
in a full England goalkeeper shirt who's basically just got his penis out.
Yeah.
Whip the old chap out for king and country.
Yeah. So the tweet was, have you ever displayed your genitals to an Italian,
Pete?
Mussolini's public hanging.
That was a highlight of the game for me, which I didn't
which probably goes some way to suggesting how poor England were.
But I tell you what though, the one little word on the fans, they were great singing all the way right to the end. And swinging away and whatnot.
England blocked 13.
Swing low, sweet chariot.
England blocked 13 shots, which is under one every 10 minutes.
Yeah.
The Italy's shooting record in that match.
36 shots.
Absolutely insane. I mean, it's worth remembering, you know, at the start of the tournament, we said we would be happy if England gave us one of those moments where we thought that, you know, they might go on and do something, which I think they did against Sweden in a couple of patches. Mm-hmm. And, you know, quarterfinals isn't bad. This is all right.
It would have flattered
us. It's not terrible.
By the time the penalty shootout came down, I was thinking, well, England don't deserve anything like this.
No, exactly. And
we've got Germany next.
It was a weird one because it was the first time that I could take massive consolation the fact that we'd gone out that I thought we won't have to play Germany. Because that would have been, I think that would have been more embarrassing.
Oh, that would have been absolute. We'd have had our
pants
pulled down.
Yeah. Less, after 120 minutes, a day or two's less rest.
Yeah.
Honestly, just shoot us.
If we were a horse,
just shoot us.
Let the ball do the work like that man who got his cock out.
A quick word on a few more words on Italy. Prandelli said about his team, because you know, the Italy aren't this sort of defensive side that they used to be or stereotypically were.
No.
And he said, you know, the new generation want to see this kind of football and not think about the result from the first minute. I mean, as you say, they've kind of, against Croatia they were slightly unconvincing in the second half and Ireland weren't great, but against Spain they were good, and England,
well, as I touched on sort of earlier, they're quite a difficult team to work out. I wonder how long it's going to take for sort of broadcasters to realise that Italy aren't that Italy team they've been traditionally. It's been quite a while now. They used to be a team who'd shut up, safety first, with a couple of two or three sort of flair players to sort of crack a lock for them, and not like that at all now. They're much more free flowing and attacking, and they've got this rotating sort of midfield they use, which when it works excellently.
That's right.
But we'll find out what they're made of against Germany.
They're going to face Germany in semis, and the Germans didn't want that. Podolski said before the game, he said maybe it could be England next, and if that's the case, then of course it's no problem.
Now
we want the final. Already there, so they're going to have to rethink. And obviously Italy are a bogey team for Germany in tournament football.
Germany expect to get to the final, don't they? And understandably so.
But I think their confidence will still be there, but I think they'll just think, we're in the Italy, okay.
What about the 2006 semi, eh?
Well,
that was some drama, that.
Do you know what I mean?
I hope we get a repeat of that.
82 final with the old... was his name? The celebration?
Oh, Tardelli.
Tardelli,
of course.
That's probably the greatest moment of sheer joy ever seen on a football pitch. I've got a poster of that next to my desk at home. Just to remind me about what football's all about.
Next to the hanging there baby cat.
Yeah, and you haven't got to be mad to work here, but it helps.
Take me to your dealer.
That's the one. I like the Pope. The Pope smokes dope, that one.
Still
the
Simpson.
Yeah.
Him smoking a big bifter.
Yeah.
Bifters, eh? So Germany, they will play them in the semi-final because Germany... surprisingly, beat Greece 4-2.
Snuck past Greece, didn't they?
Just edged that one.
Moneyball.
That game was hilarious, purely because when Greece equalised, the Germans just seemed so pissed off, just so affronted.
Yeah. I loved it when Greece equalised. I was like, come on, come on. Yeah. I know we're not going to see you, but this is great.
Samaras could not believe what had just happened.
Neuer nearly saved it as well.
He's seen other people do that. He didn't think he'd do it himself.
Samaras' celebration was like a village idiot pointing at the moon.
Yeah.
He was like, what's happening here?
I've done a good.
Yeah.
Philipp Lahm opened the score again. Like I said...
What a goal that was as well.
Yeah. Like I said a good few minutes ago, is that the sort of 25 yarder in the corner that we were waiting for?
I don't think it is because it came in quite low, didn't it?
Yeah, we want a top corner.
Yeah, there's not been an absolute top corner screamer yet. I mean, Marco Reus scored a good goal, but that wasn't
Kadira as well.
Kadira's was a proper like Karate Kid style.
Kadira's was the one that looks exactly like the Bundesliga logo.
Yeah.
Pirlo's free kick was quite far out.
Yeah, true.
Ah, dead ball.
I want a live ball.
Just Germany taking the piss. Yogi Love rested his first choice striker Mario Gomez and first choice attacking midfielders Thomas Müller and Lucas Podolski, three of their best players in the quarterfinal. Don't worry,
but look who's coming on though.
Marco Reus and André Schürrle, is it?
Yeah,
Schürrle. I mean, they've only got a handful of caps each. Thomas Müller was the same.
It was like Super Nanny pointing at the naughty step going, if you're naughty, they're coming on.
That's right.
Do what's expected of you, Greece.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? Resting players in a quarter final. How dare they?
The three of your best players. But I think that's like if we'd have rested like Rooney and Gerrard.
Well, fucking wish we did.
Needed it.
He rested himself, didn't he?
Hindsight's a wonderful thing.
I was going to say the André Schürrle thing, who was probably guilty of making reasonably poor decisions here and there, and he didn't have a great game.
Yeah.
But the thing about the jet is so painfully predictable, because like you could see he was a really good player, and like, in five caps time he's just going to be amazing.
That's right.
He's just not got that experience, but all the tools are there. But on the selection thing though, there is a more serious point, which is that Greece were going to set up very deep, and so I think Jogi Löw just wanted to mix it up to find some people to pick a lock and stuff.
Give the boys a rest.
Yeah,
give the boys a rest. I did like what Yogi Love said after the game, because some said about his cheeky decision to do all these things, and he said, "Well, to be cheeky is a good thing. Yeah. We needed to be unpredictable against Greece because they know us very well."
Where's my assistant Hans Flick?
Great impression.
Yeah, thanks.
76%
possession.
That's loads.
But Greece still got two.
Yeah, I was delighted at Salping Dean, because he's been their best player.
He's been excellent.
He kept him in it. He dragged him back into it by the scruff of his neck.
Well, he got an assist and a goal.
Yeah, yeah.
Against Germany.
Yeah.
Give the man a Euro.
But do you remember in the first game? He just changed the game.
I did find the Greek coach said after the game, he said, you know, I'm very proud of my players, blah, 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 blah. And he said, you know, if you'd have told me, I don't know, a time ago that we would score two goals against Germany, I wouldn't have believed it. You know, it doesn't matter. Germany could have got eight, but they got the two goals.
For every completed pass Greece made, Germany made four, basically. That was the stat.
It was basically like England v Italy, but goals.
Yeah.
Goals happened.
But Greece were much better than England.
Yeah, Greece got two goals against
technically them. Because Germany are much better than Italy.
Yeah. So they go to face the Italians. And Germany with two extra rest days. It does seem a touch unfair, doesn't it?
But how else do you do it?
Yeah,
you could play the two quarterfinals on the same day.
It's telly money.
Money, mate. You can't do that.
Money.
That's what football's all about, so.
And the world.
Yeah.
Tell that to the Greeks.
Makes the world go round.
They invented money.
They did.
Angela Merkel was in the crowd, wasn't she? She celebrates like Alex Ferguson.
Yeah.
Like her shoulders are quite weird.
With 10 glasses of wine? Oh, sorry. Sorry, guys.
Tapping her watch.
Not good enough to disrespect another the round.
How do we see Italy and Germany?
Through a telly.
Yeah.
Come on.
I think Germany will win the game.
Do you?
Yeah. But I sort of thought England would nick it against Italy, so...
What the bloody hell do you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, I really thought Mario Balotelli would get sent off, so maybe he'll do that against Germany.
He was excellent.
He was lively, very, very lively.
Come on. Do you think he'll moved on from that.
He'll do the business against Germany, possibly. I think Germany at the back have been very good. Mats Hummels has been superb.
And Mats Hummels is great, because Mats makes it sound like there's two of him. Mm. And he sort of plays a bit like that.
Yeah, he does.
I would love to see Italy go through, because as much as you respect Germany's footballing talent, of course you do, and you, in a weird way, I know I'm going to sound contradictory here, but you wanted to see it rewarded and all the rest of it, you don't want international football to become too predictable, like the Champions League. And
but Germany haven't won anything for a long time, mate.
16 years, isn't it?
Well, that's true. Mm. I'll let them go through then.
Yeah.
I think Di Natale get something out of
there. No, I'm saying this, but with this German side, they could go on to dominate.
Well, I'm surprised he didn't introduce Di Natale on Sunday night because he'd had 16 hat tricks. He'd have finished every single chance.
Do you think we'll see Di Natale against Germany? I mean, in fact, he probably would have brought him on if it wasn't for Abate's injury.
Yeah.
No, I think he'll come on.
Cassano simply cannot play a full game, can he? So at one stage or another, Cassano will come off, and it's whether he goes with Giovinco or Di Natale. You know,
do you think he'll go for the back three, line up like he did against Spain?
Confuse him.
I think he will do that. Yeah,
because I think he knows that if surely they'll close Pirlo down.
Yeah, you can't invite pressure onto yourself.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be an interesting duel between Schweinsteiger and Pirlo.
Does it not does it not depend about the back three thing whether Chiellini's back?
Oh, that's true.
So we have to wait and see, I suppose.
We'll have to wait and see. Simple as. let's go all the way back to that first quarter final where the Czech Republic were beaten 1-0 by Portugal and Cristiano Ronaldo got the winner.
It's a weird game. It's a 1-0 hammering.
It was. Yeah. Moutinho was excellent.
Does anyone think this is slightly potentially got the makings of Cristiano Ronaldo's tournament?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
You know what? I think they'll beat Spain.
Do you?
Really?
There you go.
Hey, you got big talk.
Yeah, yeah. Go on. Get out there,
do
gamblers.
Do you think Pepe will obliterate all the Spanish players?
Do you know what? Pepe and Ronaldo, right? They could score a hat trick each and get sent off. Do you know? They will be so up for it, especially Ronaldo.
Oh, look, Bruno Alves is going to Hadouken them all
and then eat their bodies.
Well, you've got Coen Trau as well.
Yeah, Contrao
connection.
Contrao and Moutinho are very good against the Czech Republic.
All these players know each other so well.
I think Cristiano Ronaldo just seems to have the bit between his teeth, and he's suddenly thinking, "Hang on a minute, I can do this at international level now."
I mean, he's just been irrepressible, hasn't he? He's just had so many shots against the Czech Republic. You just knew he was going to score. It just seemed absolutely
took his head well.
It's a great run. He's excellent in the air. We all know that.
Brilliant ball from Moutinho as well.
But Portugal look like the team, and they've had two extra rest days. Mm. And the Spanish coach said that they look knackered, and they did against France. We'll come on to that in just a sec. Portugal, two more rest days. They look up for, I mean, to me, they're the ones with the
momentum.
Bit between the teams.
It's whether they can get the ball or not, though, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. They can get the ball for long enough. I thought Miguel Veloso, which in English means Michael Furry.
Lovely.
Yeah, it's a nice one. Or Fleecy or Furry, one of those two in Portugal.
Good to find either way.
Yeah. He looks a little bit dodgy to me, actually. I thought he was a little bit below par. But
played well against Holland, though.
He did, yeah, he did okay.
Lovely, one of the best slips of the tournament.
Oh, yeah, yeah, big time.
Ronaldo, it's one of those things where we've seen Cristiano Ronaldo in, for example, La Liga when he's been playing Barcelona, who keep the ball. He does get frustrated when he's not, because he loves having the ball at his feet.
He got so frustrated early on in that game when someone misplaced a simple pass out for a throw in. He almost looked like he was going to pull his own shorts now. Like Diamante, when Diamante almost sort of rips his shirt in half.
I just think, you know, because they beat Portugal, didn't they, in 2010 World Cup. Spain beat Portugal 1-0. And I just think Ronaldo, it's just clicked in his head. He can do this, which he's not had before at international level.
But you got to look at the first match. It could be another one.
True. Well, I'm only going on what I've just got a little hunch. Mm. And I'd like to see it happen as well, damn it all.
Yeah. Well, you know, 26, is he? It's last week. It's, I mean, this is the time is now for him, isn't it? He'll be acutely aware that he needs to make a mark. Yeah, there's that weird thing. Someone, when he celebrated, I'm not sure if he actually did say this or not. He said something about Lionel Messi, apparently. Down the camera.
I'm not. Heard that, but I didn't see that. Anybody?
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if he did.
You see Figo and Eusebio in the crowd.
Yeah, that was nice.
Figo was wearing his 2004 shirt under the suit jacket. Yeah, it's amazing.
Oh, that's great.
Get it out of the wash.
Eusebio was all right, wasn't he? He was admitted to hospital, but he's okay.
Yeah, when he sat down and I don't think Eusebio was watching the goal go in, because Figo jumps up and Eusebio goes, "What the fuck? What? What?"
I'd actually pick Eusebio ahead of Postiga. Yeah. He went off injured. I'm not sure if he's going to be okay for the next game. But
apparently, in training, Miguel Lopez and Ricardo Quaresma came to fisticuffs after Lopez was said to have put in a big tackle on Quaresma.
Quaresma is a sensitive one.
He is.
He's one of the worst blokes in the world. he's such a fancy dad, isn't he?
Yeah, he's massively.
If he was,
and he should be in that squad then, as we've said before.
As Jim famously said about Nicholas Bentner, if he was half as good as he thinks he is, he'd be twice as good as he is.
That's right. Well done, Jim.
Yeah, well done, Jim.
Well done, Nicholas.
Three cheers for Jim, everyone. All right, that's okay.
Talking of things Jim said, let me just remind you, Jim, of what you said last week about Spain and France. This should be a real highlight. I think it'll be a thrilling one, and I think France will fly into Spain. Not one of your better moments.
No. Cheers for that.
That's a dig. The same way an aeroplane flies into a mountain.
Yeah, that's true. In the same way, I thought Greece might beat Germany. So don't worry about it.
Well, there we go.
Spain 2, France. Yeah.
They just strangled them for an hour, didn't they? It was an absolute headlock of a football match.
Xabi Alonso in the brace.
Yeah.
Well, his 100th cap, was it?
The best thing that France and the French media had come up with was, "Well, yeah, but you're boring." Like Spain had broken up with him or something, and they knew they were the best girlfriend they're ever going to get. Yeah. Oh, you're boring anyway.
We don't even like football.
That is exactly what Sami Nasri said before the game. Which is, he made himself drop. He just made himself unplayable, didn't he, Nasri, by hating everyone?
Yeah, that's right.
They had to play Malouda in the middle.
And Malouda.
He left quietly though, Sami Nasri.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But Spain have come under a lot of criticism after that performance.
Well, they have been pretty dull, by their own standards.
I know what you mean, but the thing is, though,
I'd love a bit of winning dullness.
I tell you what,
we were fucking dull already. We got battered. There's nothing interesting about that.
But the thing is,
battered 0-0.
Yeah,
always new ways for England to be shit.
Yeah, we were lucky to get nil, as Shankly famously said.
That's true. I mean, if you're going to be, you know, if you think about Spain though, if they are quite tired and they're playing, you know, a potentially decent side, you 1-0 up. Why not just pass it and knock it around? I mean, okay, you could say it's disrespectful to the supporters that have paid a lot of money and all that kind of stuff, absolutely. But from the player's point of view, you can understand that. If you think, let's just knock it around, we're a goal up, we'll be okay.
I just don't see how being one of the finest passing teams the world has ever seen as being disrespectful. Mm. You know, you pass the ball as much as you want to pass it. They use it to conserve energy, and as far as I'm concerned, I don't want to sound, you know, silly, but fucking tough shit, France. Go and get it.
I don't care for Man.
The France team aren't a bunch of minnows. They're as highly paid, as highly drilled, as well nutritioned, and as well conditioned athletes as Spain are. Mm. Go and get the ball back. Spain have to get it back when they lose it. You've got to do the same.
I wouldn't care if Xavi just stood in the centre circle doing keep you ups, to be honest. It's your job to get the ball off him.
Exactly.
I don't whinge about what the other players are doing.
I was delighted for Xavi Alonso because for me, you know, it's not his fault, but a lot of time he spends in the shadow of Iniesta and Xavi.
That's right.
And he really came out of the shadow and was amazing.
And he once did a little ident for the Football Ramble.
He did.
He's a lovely man when I met him. Very handsome too.
Doesn't look Spanish, does he?
What do you think he looks?
Yeah, what did
he? He's more like Scandinavian, maybe.
Because he's a bit ginge.
Yeah. Mm. I don't think
he was superb against France.
He's just the best of Europe, isn't he?
He's a best of.
Yeah.
I thought Benzema had a good game.
Good tournament.
Lols. Lols.
Alonso, for his first goal, had so much room. I mean, did you see Malouda?
Where's Malouda? Wasn't
Malouda
tracking,
sort
was
of went, is that Alonso way? It is. It's 1-0.
And Blanc's left the game. He was asked a question about the performance, and he said, and Blanc's answer was, "Yeah, our plan was to get it to half time at 0-0." To which the interviewer should have just gone, "Right, yeah, I see what you're saying there, but that didn't really happen, did it? So what did you do after that?
Yeah, then what? What was the plan then?
Yeah,
presumably, you know, what? Like, we just hope it ends like that.
I think that's worse than England, actually." I do.
Didn't have loads of falling outs behind the scenes. Ben Arfa wasn't brought on because he doesn't get on with the manager again.
Yeah, that's true. Spain have kept 11 clean sheets and conceded only 3 goals in their last 14 European Championship and World Cup matches.
It's not bad. Boring. It's boring.
Yeah. Ribéry was very disappointing as well. And again, you know, when we sort of said with England against Italy, when we got the ball in the final third, which was very rare, it was so disappointing, the final pass. France were the same. A couple of times you thought, oh, come on, have a go. Knock it. And just abject.
Because they've got such talented forward players and they are all about attacking the defence, you know.
This Nasri thing's an interesting one. It's like a real complicated issue because he was told by the press in France to pick up the mantle and take the national team on, take to the next level sort of thing. And I've read that he basically misunderstood that as having to do it all himself. Yeah. And then with Laurent Blanc wanting these transitional forward plays of being really quick, and Nasri slowing the ball down, everyone started getting on his back. And Nasri, being the character he is, just took it really badly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought the only player really to come out of the only outfield player to come out of that Spain game, the credit was Mvilla, who toiled admirably, I thought. And he always uses the ball well anyway. And he's got a bright future, he really has. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I mean, no, it's woeful. Benzema, it's one of the worst front performances I've ever seen from Benzema. It was almost like every single shot just ballooned miles into the crowd. That should be known as the Benzema. But then actually, so good for Real Madrid, you can't really get away with it.
That's right.
Yeah. I think teams panic against Spain a little because obviously they do close you down so quickly that you must be very aware of how little time on the ball you've got. So it means players are rushed into making bad decisions and just misplaced passes.
Well, England sort of rushed into bad decisions of their own volition, aren't they?
You know, that's when technique kicks in, you know. Just, right, there's a player over there, need to get it to him. Yeah I'm going to kick it to him. Yeah. But it doesn't happen.
It's a very simple game, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's it. Nasri, after the game, had a foul-mouthed rant at a journalist.
Didn't he say something along the lines that one journalist said to him, I'm not sure that was after this game or the game before, a journalist said to him, oh, come on, Sammy, we've been waiting around for 2.5 hours or something, and that's, it's not my fault. He's walked off.
I don't know if that was that time, but he had a proper bust up with them. Because apparently when he scored the goal against England, he was telling, because we wondered if he was talking to the crowd when he was telling everybody to be quiet and shut up. Apparently he was looking at a few journalists and saying shut up because they'd written a bad article about the French team and him in particular.
Oh dear, it's a sensitive one.
Yeah, so I mean, France, have they got respectability back after 2010?
They've just seemed to have just collapsed out of the tournament. I mean, they've progressed a bit further, but they didn't even get a point today in 2010. But whatever they did, they were terrible. But they've still managed to make it the most, you know, dignity sapping exercise.
They always find a way. Like they win it or just explode.
Yeah, like Holland.
There's no in between.
Apart from Holland, are the same apart from the winning a bit.
Mm. Strange. 90 minutes is a long time in football and in films.
Yeah.
There you go.
Cheers, Pete.
No worries. I'll be back next week.
Okay. Well, see, I think probably the best four teams in the competitions are in the semis.
Yes,
I'd say so.
That's strong, isn't it?
Germany and Italy. And if England were in there, it would have embarrassed us a bit.
I mean, it says a lot about the quality of it that Portugal are considered maybe the dark horse in there.
Well, Marcus, firstly, you've touted Portugal from the get-go, really. I thought they're flattered to deceive a little bit, but they are definitely worthy of being there.
Yeah.
They've been quite lucky with the draw.
I'm going to predict a Portugal-Germany final.
Oof. God, that'd be excellent, that would.
To be honest, actually, I think most people would want to see Spain and Germany because they probably are the best two sides.
Rematch.
And that's also an interesting sort of juxtaposition of styles as well. It'd be interesting to see which one wins out.
I fancy Portugal to win it all.
Yeah, did you put it in the envelope, though? That's the thing.
We'll find out next week.
Without giving the envelope thing away, the team that you've tipped to win it, are they still in it here?
Hmm? No, don't say that.
Yeah, no.
All right.
The envelopes stay as long as it's still sealed.
Sealed with a shiny.
Sealed with a shiny. So there we are. Well, that's it for this week. We will be back after the semi-finals and then after the final. So two more Euro shows still to come.
Euros
indeed. Jim.
Hello. Just a little plug. I'm doing another Edinburgh preview on Friday, the 29th of June. Luke and Lord Rambler threatening to come.
I'm coming to that one. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's at the Hanbury Arms in Islington. It's free. It's with Beck Hill, who is brilliant and Australian, but brilliant despite her cultural handicap. so yeah, do come along.
There you are. If you want to get in touch with us, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The website is thefootballramble.com.
Yes, loads going on there. Lots of nice pieces, lots of comedy pieces, some serious well-written pieces, a sort of blog thing which I do.
I like today's cartoon.
Yeah, cartoon of the week, mailbag, forum. It's basically, I'll check this on the internet, it's basically the best website on the internet.
It's the best bit of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
We looked at all five websites from around the world, and definitely the best.
There we are. Right, say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye, Jim.
Say goodbye, Reeks.
Goodbye, everyone.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Go fuck yourself.
Shall we?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.